The following program is intended for mature audiences.
And welcome to the show, everyone. We are the Circle of Nerds, and coming up this week, we'll be strolling through the Shire, looking at bad movies and good franchises, engaging in a jack-off, and much, much more.
There's got to be a better way to phrase that.
I'm sure there is, but that's the way that we went. So, Doug, why are you shaking your head already with the disapproval?
I mean, as you let off pretty hard with things that could be disapproved of.
Yes. Yes. Hard disapproval. Absolutely. But before we dive into everything, we've got our movie clip of the week. And so far, Doug, 5-0. 5-0. So we'll see if we can stump D to the UG on this one. All right. Is everyone ready?
No.
Oh yeah.
This is a terrible game.
I like this.
I love this game.
Look at Doug loves it. All right, here we go. This one's probably gonna be way easy for Doug. All right, here we go.
Remember the first time I saw your bike? You were riding past my house and I came running out to tell you how much I liked it even way back then.
One more time. Oh, maybe. Unless Doug's got a good poker face. One more time. Yes or no? Yeah, one more time.
Yeah, let's go. All right.
Remember the first time I saw your bike? You were riding past my house, and I came running out to tell you how much I liked it even way back then.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah. I was thinking way too hard about it. That is super easy.
See?
Oh, is it? Is it super easy, Doug?
Is it, Doug? Maybe you watch too many movies.
Look, I have four children. I haven't watched a movie that I've actually watched in fucking 6 years. All right. This is like deep seated childhood.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm drawing on, you know, movies that I like, movies that are enjoyable to me that I've seen growing up. And these are all films that are popular. And that was the whole point. I'm grabbing popular films and trying to get
the last one. Was the last one you said four people, like, people had seen. People saw it. Bullshit. Oh.
Well, it's popular in my house.
You can't make that argument. This is a very popular movie from
this the is
80s.
A very this is a very popular movie. yeah,
so
I can't.
It's not Madea Goes to Jail. Got it.
You're gonna be pissed off when you hear that. You're gonna go, oh yeah, duh. Even if you've never seen the movie, you will go, oh shit, okay.
I think all of us have seen that movie. I would, except maybe Louis, because Louis doesn't ever see.
Louis doesn't watch movies.
Louis does not watch films. Oh, and you know what? Actually, a lot of people did see Master of Disguise, so I can still stand on that.
What's the rating on Rotten Tomatoes?
Now, it only has, to be fair, it only has a 1% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. However,
there it is.
However, it did very well in the box office, comparatively speaking. It had a $16 million budget.
What about the movie that you just played? Rotten Tomatoes?
It had a $16 million budget, and it earned $43.4 million in the box office.
How many of those millions of dollars are like equate to people's regret? Like, how many people ask for a refund?
That's none of my business.
So the tomato meter for the answer for this week's question, because I'm just so confident that I already know it, is 87%. The tomato meter, the audience score, 79%.
Oh, so it's a pretty popular movie.
All right.
Let me see. I'm gonna double check, because I'm wondering if Doug is if Doug's got it.
Just fuck with him and say he's wrong. I want to watch him squirm.
I'm not going to squirm. This is the easiest quote he's provided so far.
This was also commercially successful. Very much so. Very much so. It had a budget of $7 million and earned $40.9 million in the...
They made a lot of money.
Yeah, they did. So, Doug, what did you say your... What did you say the rating was for it on?
The tomatometer,
yeah.
87%. The audience score, 79%. I'm also not sure why I called it the tomatometer and not the tomato meter.
Tomatometer.
I might just make it a thing now.
Make it a thing, and we are going to move on, but first I'm going to tell Doug to go fuck himself. And then because he fucking got it again.
Oh my God. I cannot believe it. That right. Doug got it.
I am so surprised.
Oh no.
Color me impressed.
You just jealous. Y'all just a bunch of jealous assholes.
I don't know anything.
Yeah. I am a little bit.
All right. Let's. You know what? I think from now on, we're just going to do it. We're going to do the one run through because I don't know if Doug would have gotten it if I didn't play it a second time. So
yeah, that's what's stopping the rest of us from winning.
No, because you would have played it at the end and I would have gotten it.
And you'd have got it anyway. Yeah.
This one's pretty easy.
It is. And there's a what is said after that, which I'm sure you know what that is. But what is said after that, I was going to leave it in. It's the protagonist of the film. He responds to that comment.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have just been way too easy. Yeah, way too easy.
Dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. All right. So let's jump in. We are we're talking about what Lord of the Ring character would have the best social media content. If there were social media in the Shire or in Mordor or in the plains of Gondor or something. I don't know Lord of the Rings very well, so.
Well,
so who would have the best social media presence? Now, are we talking about? And Louis, was this another one of yours and Tony's brainstorms, or was who else was involved in this one?
Yeah, Aaron, me, and Tony.
Okay, so we can point fingers of blame at the three of you. Okay,
yeah.
So what are the parameters in this? What's our left and right limits? Is it just
so be creative, right? Like think outside the box as far as like what social media means. I mean, we could talk about YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans, basically any and all. I'll go first, right? I'll use an example since
okay.
So hey. my choice here is Aragorn. And his content would be like a YouTube survivalist series. So he's going to give you tips and tricks on how to survive the wilderness. He's going to show you the different things that are edible, what you could eat, what you can't eat, medicinal recipes of things that happen or that you could put together, how to save a hobbit, you know, how to seduce a... elven princess? Is she a princess? I don't know. Yeah, and the ladies are gonna be. Have you ever seen TikTok? The guy who like all he does is chop wood. Like that's his thing. Is like he just.
Oh, I've seen it.
Yeah,
he chops wood.
And I've also seen the lady equivalent, and it's equally good.
Equally as arousing.
Yes.
So that's again. Aragorn's. You know, he's doing his thing, and the ladies are like, oh, he's. He's broody and he's wilderness like. So that would be my choice. My choice would be Aragorn as a YouTube survival tip giver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Next. Who wants to go next?
I can go.
I can see Doug is very prepared, so
I
leave him for last.
So because like there are so many different realms of social media, it's hard to like say who would be like the most successful. But I think if I kind of thought of it, like if these characters were to try and have a social media presence, who are the ones that would find success in the like realm that they tried to do it in? I don't think all of them have what it takes to be like a social media personality.
Sure.
But these were the ones who I think if they tried it, here's what they would be successful in.
Okay.
Merry and Pippin, they would run like a really great TikTok or meme account. Like they would bring the laughs to the internet. I think Arwen would run a Instagram that's like a fashion, like beauty kind of influencer. I mean, like makeup's always on point. Skin is flawless. She's going to show her routine. Get ready with me. Sam has a YouTube channel and he's cooking. It's just Sam cooking potatoes like that. Immediate success. And every once in a while, Mary Pippin show up. They share some was it long green? Was it
long leaf?
Yeah, their medicinal supplement.
You've been smoking too much of the Atkins leaf.
I think that what's really going to be, unfortunately, the most successful is going to be the conspiracy podcast. and Twitter an account on Truth Social that's run by Gollum, Denethor, and Grima Wormtongue.
Genius!
Like, I can already just, like, hear them in my head just, like, going on about, like, how hobbits don't deserve rights. Like, it's gonna be great.
I love it. I love it. Like, I want us to make these now. I would just, or just the, you know, just a little bit of the branding for these, you know, and like maybe not do the whole thing, but like just like make the podcast cover for the conspiracy.
Those might be good t-shirts. Like, I would walk around with a, you know, a logo of, you know, Aragorn's outdoor wilderness show or something.
Oh, him just like ripping that. A log in half.
Right. That would be an excellent. I would totally rock a shirt like that.
So you know what? We can come up with some of the branding for this, and maybe we can do one of these shows as a just a sketch. You know, we could just, you know, get into character. We'll run it as a parody podcast. All right, Aaron, what you got?
Just jumping into kind of what you guys have already said a little bit, I think the people who would probably find themselves to be like most social media or internet famous, I think would be Merry and Pippin. They would just end up somehow famous like the Paul brothers.
Sorry. Oh, you did not just compare Merry and Pippin to fucking Logan and Paul.
Not famous in the way that Jake. Yeah,
Jake.
In the way they've become famous and influential.
God damn it.
I love it.
Not with the same stees, you know, but that level of fame.
Mary's going to be in the WWE and Pippin's going to be a UFC fighter.
Peregrine, I can see the TMZ headline. Peregrine took disrespects Fangorn Forest. Like, it's going to be like a whole.
One of them's now running the marketing for the Cleveland Browns.
Jesus.
So the part of the internet that I'm most interested in is and I constantly get trapped in the do-it-yourself kind of videos. Blacksmiths making stuff that I will never ever have the technology or know how to make, but
so
I can't
watch.
I can't stop but just drool over seeing grinders grind, you know.
What part of the internet are you on?
Grinder might be a different thing, buddy.
Oh, not grinder, guys. Okay. Point. All right. When people turn like old radiators into wood stoves, like that part of the internet.
I got you.
So I am absolutely I'm excited for how the okay, so if you want classy stuff, I'm gonna see what they're doing in Gondor. Like, I wanna see that kind of blacksmithing. I kind of feel like the elves are gonna be too prestigious, like we're above you, but like this is how we do it. Shut up. I wanna see how the common man does it. So Gondor's blacksmith, or even if they can, the orcs. I want to see how dumb and bullshit their YouTube videos are making their low level shit.
I mean, we see the orcs forging armor in the Two Towers.
But I want to see the train wreck of Fellowship. How they try to make it sound like it's so much better. Like those handy hacks for getting through your life, and you know, people just going over the top of it.
How to put meat back on the menu.
Yeah.
I likes mine raw.
What about their legs? They don't need them.
imagine a reality TV show. So have you guys ever seen like the reality TV shows with, I think there's one on Netflix with like the glass blowers, right? Where it's like each week they have to blow glass in a certain way, and then
like
somebody
masters,
gets voted off or whatever. Imagine a reality show set in Middle Earth, but each village/city has to send a person to a remote location, and they do. They have like a forge off where they each have to make different pieces of armors, and you got the Uruk-hai and the orcs and fucking the Gondorians and the Rohans and the elves, and everybody comes together. They send one representative, and they have like a blacksmith off.
We need to workshop this stuff.
I love this idea.
It's not necessarily social media, but my brain just imagined the movie Beer Fest, but instead of countries, it's dwarves, elves, hobbits.
Hobbits.
just all over Middle Earth. Just drink.
Oh, and you know Celebrimbor is going to be one of the celebrity judges who's absolutely insulting everything everybody's doing. He'll be the Simon Cowell.
Yeah, you got to have the angry Brit judge for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, all right. I got an answer. So okay. my social media, it really only consists of TikTok now because I hate it. I hate social media. I have all the other things. I just don't really go on them. Anyways, I find myself down a couple rabbit holes in the TikTok world. But one of my favorites is just really good, wholesome food creation. Mm-hmm. Scratch food recipes, usually like either outdoors, like with a fire and a fucking wet rock or whatever, and they're like cooking a steak or whatever.
Yes.
So I think it would be outdoor cooking with Samwise Gamgee.
Yes.
I think that would be like, I mean, you're talking, there's 150 million American users of TikTok. Thanks, recent news cycle, for keeping that number in my mind. I think that dude's going to have 50 million subs on TikTok.
Food always hits.
Have you seen that guy on TikTok? Is it like Man with the Knife? He's just like outside in the woods with his like freaking machete just caught.
Yeah.
He blew up on TikTok during the pandemic.
Yeah.
That's Samwise, man. He's going to so there's also a guy called Old Time Hockey. And he has like a cabin and a couple dogs, and he like creates like comfort food and then like plays old school video games. So like for a dude who played NES Canadian? All the time. Yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
That'd be fucking Samwise. He'd be like, so today we're going to make some potato. Like he'd be so fucking perfect.
What do you think Samwise is going to sound like?
No, that's what he sounds like.
That's what I sound like trying to sound like Samwise, trying to sound like Old Time Hockey.
Gotcha.
And when he gives, oh, I love the part, he always gives some food to his dog. There you go, buddy.
There you go, buddy.
Oh, it just feels
and
so good.
How about a pop? It's so
good. Yeah.
We'll finish that off with some cold pop. It's so, fuck, man. Old Time Hockey. I'm hawking it right now. I don't know who you are, man, but
let's
hope we'll be really good friends one day.
We're going to get him on the show.
We'll do it. And we'll play some Chell. It'll be incredible.
We need to talk to our booking agent and get this guy on the show. We don't have a booking agent, but we'll find one. As soon as we book a booking agent, we'll have them book.
Yeah. As soon as we find the booking agent, we'll find the talent that the booking agent can book.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Mine is kind of like a combo. It's Bilbo and Frodo, and Bilbo's doing a lifestyle vlog. This is more, and Frodo's his social media manager, because, you know, he really doesn't want to do it, but he's just so about that life, about that Hobbit Shire life. And I'm kind of drawing this more off of the animated Hobbit movie, because Bilbo then, you know, was just all about that lifestyle. But even now he is. It's just, you know, the ring kind of weighed on him. But anyway. But I could see Bilbo with a cooking YouTube channel, posting recipes to Pinterest. He's got the lifestyle vlog talking about the best pipe tobacco, the best books, you know, a little bit about cartography, you know, maybe, you know, different places to stroll in the Shire, you know, while you're out there, different types of leaf to smoke in your pipe. And then
this leaf is an indica. This leaf is a sativa.
And then Frodo gets it all edited and chopped up and pushes it out to all the platforms. And he's just sitting there helping his uncle blow up on social.
Yeah, Bilbo's also radically opposed to HostRed ads on his social media. So Frodo does all the reads because he's also out there selling it.
Of course, yeah.
We can't forget that this is capitalism.
I think we forgot what is the most popular thing that people like to consume, which is trash social, trash like reality TV.
Yeah.
Hear me out. We just have like the Bagginses, but it's just like a reality TV like the Kardashians, because we have like the Saxville Bagginses we kind of get to see. Like, so it's just like we have like them doing like, you know, their talking head one-on-ones and just like following them around, keeping up with the Bagginses.
So these are all skits we could do. These are all sketches that we could do that we need to start producing. What the fuck?
The Bagginses is an all-star idea.
100%. 100%. All right. That was a good bit.
That was a good bit. Quick. Succinct. Look at us staying on schedule.
Right? Knock on wood.
Right? All right. We'll see how the rest of the episode goes. All right. So if you'd like to weigh in on that, hit us up on social media, ironically, and let us know your thoughts. Who in Middle Earth would have the hottest social media campaign? We didn't even get into OnlyFans.
I was going to say Legolas OnlyFans.
Yeah, no, I think the proud feet are kind of itching a particular side of the internet.
Oh, yeah. The hobbits would dominate the foot fetish game.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, without question.
Whoa.
I just realized that V&A changed their username, their like display name.
Bootylicious and Sweet V.
I lost my shit.
Those are going to have to stick. We're going to have to make those stay. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break to shout out our friends and fellow podcast and Nerdyverse dwellers. Head Nerds in Charge. They're doing all kinds of great, great content for the Blurred community. It is definitely rated R, sometimes rated X. So do approach with caution, but it is good stuff. They're tackling really important issues. They're getting you hip on lifestyle stuff as well. Good cons to go to, what to do while you're there, all this good stuff, lots of social commentary. Head Nerds in Charge, please, please, please check them out. They are outstanding. Our very own Mr. Chris Fury, he went off and did his own thing called the Blurred Eye View podcast. He is also doing some great stuff. They've got great guests on there, a heavy lean on MCU and comic book stuff. So if you're really, really into those sorts of that sort of content, definitely check them out because they know their shit for sure. And of course, for something a little more family friendly, do check out Jeff and the team over at World Gone Geek. They are doing great, great things. They get out and about a lot. Recently, they just did a nice little charity event where they partnered with St. Baldrick's. That is a great charity. Louis and I, we did some things with them over in Germany. Great, great organization. The World Gone Geek crew is just out there doing it, doing big things. So check these folks out. Head Nerds in Charge, Blurred Eye View Podcast, and World Gone Geek for all of your extreme nerdery. And with that being said, it's time for that jack off, right?
You make me uncomfortable.
I know.
Yeah, this week our game time is going to be spent revisiting our old friends.
Why do you sound like a children's TV? Hello, children. Today's game time is going to be a fun little game where all of our friends can play together.
Because this is how I have to communicate all the time, both at home. We
have 17 children.
Well, I have 17 children. I have 4 children. But also, you know, I work with a lot of people that need handheld. And okay. I direct actors. Actors are animals. Okay. So we're fine. Now that I've alienated all of my friends.
That's right.
Only
2 people listen to this podcast, so you're perfectly safe.
Today we're playing You Don't Know Jack.
Yeah!
Sparrow. You gotta let me finish, man. There's a pause. It's a
pregnant. Yeah, all right, take 2. Take 2. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You don't know Jack. Sparrow.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yar!
I took some notes from You Don't Know Jack Black a few episodes ago.
Mm-hmm,
and I decided to add a little bit more of a hard format to this game. So we will have 3 rounds. The first round and second round will be 3 questions apiece. Correct answers will get you 10 points in round 1, 20 points in round 2. The third and final round, you will be able to wager any of your points. You may not go to a million. You will wager the points you have. Okay.
That's a Masters of the Nerdyverse.
And it is a 2-part question, but it's 1 question with 2 parts.
And are we taking our own? Are we keeping our own score?
I'll try to keep note here of who's doing it. I got my notes up open, but if you want to keep track for yourself to fight me, then that's great because then we get a fight too.
My mind and body are prepared.
I also have multiple choice answers if I read the question and it is very apparent that nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
All right, fair enough.
Which was the case for most of Jack Black.
Yeah, it was.
Apparently, I'm just a big fan of Jack Black and all of you are simpletons.
plebeians as well. Okay.
Pretty good. So here we go. Round one of You Don't Know Jack, Sparrow. And for our listeners at home, if you're under a certain age, you might need to know that Jack Sparrow is a character from a Disney movie franchise called Pirates of the Caribbean, based on Pirates of the Caribbean. Cool.
The ride.
The ride at Disney. Yeah. So first question, real simple, right off the rip. And to submit your answers, I will change up the order of who I ask first. I would prefer you write it down and then we have proof. And I know you're not a cheater. I was thinking about this. We should use one of those like online gameplay things where we can just program questions in and then we know nobody's cheating. Like the one that has a silly name, but I'm not going to say it because they're not sponsoring us.
Right.
Screw those guys.
Question one, round one.
After the sponsor has yet. Hey, don't burn the bridge. Let us burn the bridge, you know, after the sponsorship like, kicks in. Jeez.
Well, all right.
Talking about, but they're the only, like, legit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. Round one, question one.
Okay.
True or false? Jack's pistol was a real antique gun. Okay. Daddy Louie, true or false? Jack's pistol was a real antique gun.
True.
Excelente.
Damn it.
Tommy D.
Oh, I have to get the. Okay. There we go. I also said true.
Loverly. I heard Aaron lament, so I know he's wrong.
Oh, you can't see that, but it does say true.
Excellent. So 10 points to V, T, and L.
And what about A?
A did not get it.
Okay.
Well, I figured they couldn't have possibly given him a real gun. But then again, it was what? Early 2000s?
Yeah.
That's actually a really important context clue.
They're not going to do that anymore, especially
knowing when the movie came out. There's some questions that are rooted around different things around that same time. Okay. So good question. So then our scoreboard stands now: Tommy Ventus, Louis 10 points, and Bootylicious nothing.
Thank you.
Round one question.
But he's Bootylicious, so he's already winning.
Amen. What legendary American actor turned down the role, calling the movie doomed to fail?
Ooh.
Would you like multiple choice?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
A, Robert De Niro.
This is the role of Jack Sparrow specifically.
The role of Jack Sparrow specifically. B, Tom Hanks. C, Mike Myers. A legendary American actor turned down the role, calling the movie doomed to fail. Robert De Niro, Tom Hanks, Mike Myers.
Those are the three options?
Yes.
I would never. I was waiting for the right.
Yeah, I would never picture any of them as Jack.
There's no D. Usually, multiple choice has a D. Can I get the D?
I'll give you a D, but you'll know it's wrong now because I prepared these all with three options.
All of the above. Okay, that's fine.
All right,
D. That's all. Okay.
How are we feeling? Good. Feeling
not good.
All right.
Oh, no, I'm feeling fine.
Ventus, A, B, C.
I put C, Mike Myers.
Okay. Bootylicious, ABC.
De Niro. Because he's actually American.
Oh my God.
Because you said US, didn't you?
I did say US. Good catch there, buddy. You could have made this a 50-50 question if you were totally clueless. Tommy Deluxe.
I did Mr. Hanks. T. Mr. Hanks.
Hanks, a B. Okay. And Louie.
I also picked Robert De Niro.
Correct answer, Robert De Niro.
Really?
Yeah. How fucking weird would that have been?
See, that here's the thing. I almost chose De Niro, but then I was like, man, they would have had to kind of rewrite the tone of the movie.
Right.
So that's why I chose Mike Myers, because I figured maybe they already had more of a comedic spin on it.
Yeah.
I also did not know he was an American.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Because I judge people on the content of their soul, not where they were born, Aaron.
Well, you should judge on where they were born, because Canadians are just infinitely better.
That's very true.
Americans, I know. Okay, round one, question three. Last question of round
one.
Was
that 10 points?
That was 10 points.
Yep. Got it. All right.
So Louis pulls ahead with 20 points. This 1960s rock and roll icon was Depp's major influence on the final character. Would you like multiple choice?
Don't need it.
Okay. I don't think anybody... This should be the easiest question of the game.
Yep.
It's definitely not. Can you repeat the question?
This 1960s rock and roll icon was Depp's major influence on the final character of Jack Sparrow.
Can't change it now.
Aaron and I are looking at each other being like, oh shit, one of us is gonna be wrong.
Okay, let's go with Tommy Deluxe.
That's gonna be Mr. Keith Richards.
All right. Daddy Louie.
I wrote Elvis.
Okay. V.
I wrote Steven Tyler.
Okay.
And I put Keith Richards.
Keith Richards is correct. Tommy and A.
Who the fuck that is?
You know who fucking Keith Richards is?
No, Rolling Stones, my friend. Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah. I don't listen.
Why did I say Steven Tyler?
He was in the second one, wasn't he?
Yeah. He ended up being Jack Sparrow's dad.
Yeah.
He ended up being his dad.
Okay. So after one round, our scoreboard is Tommy and Louie and Aaron with 20 points, Ventus with 10. Now, the best part is round two, point values double, and so do the prizes.
Hey!
Prizes, yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, if you double zero, you still have zero. So, yeah. So you're still zero prizes. Sweet. All right, round two. Question one. The character of Captain Jack Sparrow originally had a more heroic take, as we may have noted from Robert De Niro's presence in the previous round. The screenwriter drew major inspiration from what hot actor of the era? I'll give you multiple choice. A. Tom Cruise. B. Harrison Ford. C. Hugh Jackman.
One more time.
What actor inspired the screenwriter for a more heroic take on Jack Sparrow? Tom Cruise, Harrison Ford, Hugh Jackman.
You said of the era. You're talking about the era the movie was made?
Of the era the movie was made. Okay. So that was where I said there's context. If you know when more about the overall property, you'll
and have, say you the choices again.
Yep. Tom Cruise, Harrison Ford, Hugh Jackman.
It's funny to picture these people as Jack Sparrow as well.
Isn't it, though? He built such an iconic character that, it's so weird to think of anyone else and then to think of it being any different, you know?
Hey, look who's here. Look who's jumping on.
Hey.
Hi, what's happening?
Not too much.
Thanks for
I'm ready for Tony to dominate the rest of this game and beat you all, even without having played for a round.
Right? Coming in clutch, hardcore.
So, Tony, I'll give you the question real quick, too, and then we'll start checking answers. This is round two, question one of You Don't Know Jack Sparrow. The character of Captain Jack Sparrow originally had a more heroic take. The screenwriter drew major inspiration from what hot actor of the era? A, Tom Cruise. B, Harrison Ford. C, Hugh Jackman. I'm going to start at the top of my screen with Ventus.
I chose Thomas Cruise.
Okay, Aaron.
Yeah, I can't go back on it. I already wrote it down. I said Hugh Jackman. I was hoping the Wolverine movies were coming out at that time.
Tommy.
I put down Senor Cruz as well.
Okay, Louie.
Tommy.
I wrote Hugh Jackman.
All right, and Tony.
Jackman.
The correct answer is C, Hugh Jackman.
What?
Okay.
What?
God damn it. Because here's the thing. Again, I lean towards Hugh Jackman, but I figured he didn't get popular until because Pirates of the Caribbean, Tom Cruise was a more established action actor.
Yeah, but what was he do? What was Tom Cruise doing around the
time? I don't know. I was 12.
Hugh Jackman played Wolverine in the year 2000. That was the first X-Men movie, and that was what really catapulted his career. And then he did everything after that. Okay, so that was Aaron was correct, Tony was correct, and Tommy was correct.
And Louie.
No,
Tommy wasn't.
I said Tom Cruise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I went with the cruiser.
I got to write Tony's full name because I was just using first initials. And then I was like, I'll do first two letters. And Tony and Tommy are the same. So A, Tony, and Louie. Okay. Round two, question two.
Okay.
Jim Carrey was also considered for the role of Jack Sparrow. What movie did he elect to do instead?
Oh, no.
Ooh. I'll give you multiple choice.
Okay.
A, Liar Liar. B, Bruce Almighty. C, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Oh.
This is basically, I love, just a guess at this point.
I love watching Aaron squirm. It is like, it gives me life, man.
I'm glad.
Jim Carrey was also considered for the role of Jack Sparrow. What movie did he elect to do instead? Liar Liar, Bruce Almighty, Me, Myself, and Irene.
Like, you gotta have a good database of, like when
he came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like,
there's always delays, too, right? Like, you could turn down a movie and it doesn't come out for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're dealing with a movie, the scale of something like Pirates. Okay. We ready?
No. What are the choices again?
Liar, Liar. Right. Bruce Almighty.
Okay.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
I already wrote it down. I can't go back now.
Okay. Louie.
Okay.
I wrote down Bruce Almighty.
All right, Tommy.
I did the same. Bruce Almighty.
Ventus.
I chose Me, Myself, and Irene.
Aaron.
I also put down Bruce.
Bruce Almighty is correct.
God damn it! When did that come out? God damn it! That came out so long after.
You're not going to turn down an opportunity to work with Morgan Freeman. That was my only. I had no idea when it came out. Well, it was my only.
Well, the era when the movie comes out is going to be so important. Except it's fucking. God damn it.
We also have this like revisionist history because Pirates was this massive blockbuster hit that spawned five movies, which is too many. But that's a hot take, I guess.
Agreed.
I'll save that for the end of the episode. But
you already dropped it, though.
It was a movie based on a fucking Disney ride, and right. The execs of Disney were just like in the conference room doing lines of blow, throwing ideas at the wall, and this is what stuck. But it's incredible how it worked out. So
it's someone, you know what? One of those guys probably said teacups too.
Amen.
One of them said, you know what?
Someone said Jungle Cruise because they turned around and made that 15 years later. Thank God it didn't have five movies. All right.
Yet.
Round two, question three.
All right.
Last question of round two. True or false? Depp actually captained and steered the Black Pearl while filming.
Can you give me the options?
True or false?
I know.
I was genuinely concerned for a moment.
No, I know.
True or false, Depp actually captained.
No other options.
And steered.
Like, okay.
Maybe? True, false, maybe. Or.
All right, we got Tony back. Tony, true or false?
I'm going to go with that's false.
Okay. Aaron.
He's a man who does his own stunts. That's true.
Ventus.
I put false, but I was probably fucking wrong.
Tommy.
I also went with true.
Louie.
I went with false because I feel like true was too obvious of an answer.
It is true.
God damn it!
Yes! I was either going to be right or I was going to be wrong. I was right.
You had a 50-50 shot.
There you go.
So, interestingly, though, he was not told that that was going to be the case. He received zero training. He received no... Like, this is prior to the Alec Baldwin incident on set, like where they really tightened up a lot more of some of the security stuff within the unions. So, like, he didn't have any training, and he had to do it. And they said, like, he looked like a natural and blah, blah, blah. Speaks to...
He's just up there.
Now, he was doing this... There was no other controls. Like he was
no, he was just the ship. He was steering the ship for long swatches of time while filming.
But I mean, really, if you think about it, you're out there in the open ocean.
Yeah, it's not that fucking hard, guys. Right?
Okay, so he wasn't like rigging it. He wasn't like controlling the fucking sails.
That wasn't the question.
Okay.
That wasn't the question.
All right. Well, that's why I thought it was false. I'm like, there's no way he's out there just fucking.
That's why I did. That's why I picked false too. V. Like, really?
You gotta listen to the words of the question.
Raise the minimum. Yeah,
right. You are being extremely specific in your questions. God,
I don't think I'm being that specific.
No, all right.
Moving into the final round, let's tabulate the totals here. Tony has 40 points. Aaron, 20, 40, 60 plus 20 is 80 points.
Hell yeah, baby.
Tommy sitting in at 20, 40.
I think I just have 40.
No, you have 50, 60.
Huh?
You got two right in the first round, buddy. You had 20 points coming into round two.
Oh, round two, doubled points. Yeah. That's okay. I'm just putting everything as 10. I'm sorry. Okay.
Louis, 20, 40, 6, 20, 40, 60. Yep. And who did I forget? Ventus?
No, it's fine. But here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Ventus, you have 10 no, points.
I actually have more points because reparations. I believe that I am owed some from everyone.
You know what? Ventus has 40 points.
Woo!
The game master has decided.
40
points and a mule?
40 points? No, Tommy.
40 points and a Moscow mule. The beverage. 40 points. You said 40 points. So where did that come from?
I was bringing her even with Tony.
40 points and a Moscow mule. I think that that's appropriate for reparations. We're talking about it. I enjoy Moscow mules.
I love that that's a joke that I can make so often. Because until one of you goes, reparations aren't owed. I'm like, you really want to open this box right now? On there?
Either way, I'm pretty sure we just got canceled on 40 points and a mule. But we'll move on.
A Moscow mule or a Maui mule if you use coconut rum. It's just as good.
Awesome. So you can wager up to your point values. It also keeps Ventus in the game for the last round.
Yeah, because otherwise
10
it's
points
just...
is not valuable. All right, make your wager before the question.
Oh shit.
You don't have to tell me it, but you gotta write it down in honor system and all that shit.
Hold on.
How many points do I have? 20,
60.
You have 60. Right.
I'm writing it down. All right. Hold on. Wait.
Do. And we might get sued now. Who knows?
No, sing it off key that it won't.
The pitch was off. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, that's fair. It was pretty bad. Okay.
Hold on.
Oh my God, guys, lock it in.
Hold on. I'm trying to do math.
It's so funny to me whenever we do these wager questions because I literally will always bet as much as I possibly
all in.
Can.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why anybody would be careful.
Well, I try to be strategic.
Well,
but
everybody's wrong and I'm right.
The thing is, I just win my games because I'm the only one who knows the answer. So I don't have a ton of experience. All right, are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Final round. One question, two-parter.
Okay.
I will extend multiple choice, even though I'm not happy about it. Which Saturday Night Live alums musical act has recorded a song about Captain Jack Sparrow? And who was the guest pop artist on the track? Do we need multiple choice?
Yeah, because you're a motherfucker. What the hell? I have an idea, but...
Okay.
Okay.
A, Andy Samberg with Michael Bolton. B, Bill Hader with Huey Lewis. C, Adam Sandler and Kenny Loggins.
I got it. That's what you... I got it. I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I
got it. Say it again.
A, Andy Samberg and Michael Bolton. B, Bill Hader and Huey Lewis. C, Adam Sandler and Kenny Loggins.
I need you to know that before you read the answers, I so confidently wrote down what I was convinced was the correct answer, and it was not any of the three that you said. I was like,
it wasn't even one of the multiple choices.
I need to know what the confident answer was.
I will tell you afterwards, but I was like, God damn.
That's my favorite thing. I saw you writing and I was like, oh my God, V's going to get the final because it's
then
like such
I was
a niche
like waiting
question.
For it. I was like, no.
Okay. All right.
But when I say what I thought, you'll see why I got there.
I'm here. The final question, which Saturday Night Live alums musical act has recorded a song about Captain Jack Sparrow and who was the guest pop artist on the track? We'll start off with Tommy D.
I'm going with Sandberg and Bolton.
Okay. Louie.
I also picked Sandberg and Bolton.
Bootylicious.
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I did.
Ventus.
I also did Sandberg and Bolton, but my original answer was the Lonely Island and T-Pain. So I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
God, that is my song. That is like literally anytime I put my feet on a boat, it happens. Or I'm at a wedding. Tony.
Well, ironically, Ventress is half right because it is the Lonely Island, which is Andy Samberg's group.
Right.
And it was with Michael Bolton.
And yes, so A is correct. Let's see what Woo! We wagered. What do we got for Tony? I can't read anything. 40?
I bet it all.
All right. Tony has 80. All right. Aaron?
I bet 40.
So what does that put you at?
120.
Oh, goddamn.
Nice.
Dominant. Dominant performance. Tommy?
47.
Jesus Christ. You're that guy who does like the...
hold on. You had 60 points. And you bet 47, so you have 107. Okay.
And the Price is Right. Tommy's that guy betting $1 ahead.
But you know what? That's the guy that gets up on stage with Bob or Drew now. So it's
$1, Bob.
$1, Bob.
I'm sorry, Ventus. I accidentally skipped you. I just went down a line.
It's fine. I bet everything. I don't know if you can read it, but it does say 40 at the bottom.
Okay. And Louie?
I wagered 30, so I have 90.
Okay, so our winner with 120 points, dominating the field, Aaron Bootylicious.
Congrats.
Well done. Aaron, you know Jack Sparrow.
Thank you. Yes.
Honestly, with those final scores, with the exception... Those final scores, I feel like we all know Jack, with the exception of the fact that Ventus only got two questions right.
But my only because I went against my gut, and you know it's fine. I'm gonna
always
blame
the gut.
Forever.
You should get a probiotic, maybe some kombucha.
Yeah, I'll go get some Activia.
Get some booch.
The booch is all right. That was fun. I love that game. All right,
that was fun.
So we are going to pause for a very brief. Pseudo commercial break. Basically, we would just like for you to visit our social media accounts. I don't know why I run this because no one listening is going to see it, but
do it anyway.
Yeah. Do it anyway because it's built into the show. And eventually, once we do move over to YouTube and video full time, then it's already built in. And I'm going to shut up and push the button. And also, I worked very hard to make that thing, and I like seeing it. All right, so that was awesome. Congratulations, Bootylicious. Look it. He's coming back off of the just crushing defeat with the movies.
Oh,
last week, man.
I need you all to know that as soon as that episode ended, I ran into the hallway and I squeezed the shit out of Doug. Lovingly.
Lovingly.
Yeah, the cleanup was a little messy, though.
Well, at least
I can vouch for that.
That's what's really important. At least Doug gets a squeezer.
That's why Aaron changed his
shirt. Did it feel like a sneeze, only better?
Like,
squeezer, not sneezer.
With the great buildup of like knowing that you have to sneeze, so like the buildup was really
right,
and then explode.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit. We're talking about movie franchises, and there are some incredible franchises out there, and unfortunately, there are some stinkers within those franchises, and that's what we're going to be talking about here for the next few minutes. So. Doug and I are already at odds on one particular franchise. I know, but
it's because Tommy's wrong.
Well, it's just not necessarily.
I have a movie outside of the Alien franchise that is sucky, even though the franchise itself is good.
Okay, fair enough. Well, do you want to go first? You go first.
Oh, fuck. Sure. So I'm looking at the overarching property IP, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Lord of the Rings, the Middle Earth IP, the Tolkien IP, and I would say that there's a lot of fantastic filmmaking, particularly that Peter Jackson did within the first three movies. And then The Hobbit had some promise. There were, you know, the never-ending story, never-ending journey, the unexpected journey was pretty solid. But I think we all agree that taking a book that you're supposed to read over a weekend in eighth grade and making it three books is or three movies is a terrible decision. And it shows in the Battle of the Five Armies. I think that that movie in particular is among like my bottom 10 movies of all time.
Yeah.
The investment on the storytelling was bleh. The investment on the technical side, like, it wasn't even stunning. I can be mad about movies like Rise of Skywalker, but at least it looks and sounds really good. Mm-hmm. This movie looked like shit. It told a story like shit, and it just
was shit.
I mean, and to have the cat, like, the casting director, whether it's Peter Jackson or whomever he's working with, but like, they put together these incredible casts, and you just wasted it. You wasted Martin Friedman. You wasted discount Orlando Bloom. You wasted the guy who played the
Luke
dwarf
Evans.
King.
Put some respect on it.
Sure, but he was discount. You wasted Orlando Bloom and made him look really awkward.
Like, yeah.
It was so bad. Benedict Cumberbatch, a great vocal performance, completely wasted. More than a vocal performance, they motion captured
him.
They mo-capped
him as a dragon, yeah.
And, you know, and you had Circus in that trilogy, and it just, to end it on the Battle of Five Armies was, I think, criminal.
Yeah.
What was the way that they filmed it? It was a particular resolution or frame rate?
Oh, it was like this weird frame rate. Yeah, I remember Aaron and I, we accidentally bought tickets to it in 3D, and I had to take the glasses off.
Ooh.
When Smaug was like decimating the town because I got so nauseous.
Yeah, I think it was maybe one of the first things filmed entirely in like 4K with 60 frames or 120 frames a second
or something.
Like,
yeah. Like
it was super fast, and honestly, like it in the 3D, yeah, it like invoked like or created like motion sickness effect, yeah. at an alarming rate, and it just, if you go home, I think it's like hosted on HBO Max or whatever right now, if you go home and stream it, like, it doesn't look good even on like a home HD television.
It was 48 frames per second, which was double the normal at the time.
So weird.
And what I remember, like, not only nausea, but it looked like a homemade video.
Yeah.
Is kind of what it looked like. Or like I was watching some sort of soap opera.
Yeah.
No offense to soap operas, but it looked cheap.
The CGI was so bad too. And if you're comparing it to the original, I will call it the original trilogy, to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, like the investment that they made in the CGI, I watch those movies today and I think they hold up. And the problem with the Hobbit trilogy is they said, okay, let's recreate the magic, but we're going to give you half the budget and half the story ultimately. And it was not good.
It also felt soulless. Like watching the Lord of the Rings, you can just tell how much care and love and just detail went into it. Whereas the Hobbit just felt like it didn't, the heart behind making it really wasn't there.
And like, again, I think An Unexpected Journey is a great movie. I actually rank it above Fellowship for my personal list. Like, I think it is a fantastic movie. I think they found like the musical storytelling within the dwarves, which was really interesting. The second one was okay, and then the third one was just like legit one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So specifically, the Battle of Five Armies. I don't even remember the name of the second one. The Battle of Five Armies is the sucky one I'm calling out.
What was this? Oh, Desolation of Smaug.
Oh, right.
Hey, Louie.
Back to the Future 3. Now just go to somebody else. That's my answer. Just keep going.
Look at how red.
Because if you don't just move on from what I just said, then it's gonna derail.
I want to hear it. I'm not going to. I won't fight you.
It's super bad. The story is incredibly, incredibly stupid. The premise behind the entire movie is stupid. It's of all the things that they could have come up with, like, really, really, it's just, I can't even watch it. I can't even, like, in my mind, the franchise ended with Back to the Future 2. The first two movies are so good that they make the third movie that much worse. It's just, I can't even watch it. I can't even remember the last time that I sat down and watched the entire thing. I've probably seen the first two movies all the way through, you know, 50, 60 times. Like, it's one of those movies that I've just seen a ton of times throughout my life.
I feel so uncomfortable like right now. Like mommy and daddy are about to fight. Like, you just know. dad just came home drunk. Mom's like, what? Where the fuck were you?
It's really bad. I would rather. So initially, when we first came up with this segment, when we were talking about it, my initial answer was the Dark Knight Rises, because I think that the Dark Knight Rises kind of ruined that Batman franchise.
That whole franchise was ass to begin with, so it didn't have a bad movie because all of them were bad.
Well, that's a fucking
Anyway, that's not my anyway. Batman.
Okay. Right. Back to the Future 3.
Good. I've said it before, and I will say it a million times. You are entitled to your opinion, no matter how fucking wrong you are. Like, and if you want a PowerPoint presentation, I'll put it together, but I don't think that's what our listeners want right now. One of these days, we're going to have the actual conversation.
We'll do a whole episode on that. We need to do a whole
episode.
Maybe
you and I need to sit down and watch. See, that's one of those things that, like, I would love to sit down and watch that movie with an enthusiast like Doug and have them explain scene for scene, shot for shot, why I'm wrong. Because it's that bad of a movie.
I will give you that it's the weakest of the three.
No, it's horrible.
I will allow that into the chat.
You'll allow
it. It's not weak, it's just bad.
All right, thank you, Daddy Louie.
You're welcome.
All right, V&A.
You want me to go? You want to go?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, so I had a list, and because I hadn't settled on one yet. So it's funny, Doug actually took one of the ones that was on my list. I just wrote it as The Hobbits, so I won't use that one. So the one I was gonna say, I was looking at my list. I'm like, there's something I'm forgetting. I know that there is a movie that I'm forgetting, and I just remembered it in the nick of time. It is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Fucking Crystal Skull.
I knew you were gonna say that.
That movie was trash. It was absolute garbage. And my family, we are a huge Indiana Jones. My mom saw that movie 13 times in theaters when it came out. That's where I get my entire being from, basically, is from that. But like, the one thing that I loved about Indiana Jones so much was that his adventures were always spectacular and over the top. But the mythology and the things he was hunting were always like earth-based legends. And so even though it felt fantastical, it was also still very, very grounded. Okay. And then they crystal
like,
skull-
oh shit, this could actually really happen.
Right.
Like,
you know, like if we were to find like the Holy Grail, of course there's some weird shit, you know, in this thing. Or, you know, so I was like, I liked it for that reason. And then Crystal Skull came out, which they never should have done. My God, was that bad. But then again, it was in that era of we're going to make everything CGI. So not the sequences themselves in the movie look terrible. I will never forgive them for implanting my brain Shia LaBeouf swinging through the jungle with a bunch of monkeys chasing after a car. I will never forgive, never forgive Hollywood for that. The goddamn refrigerator with the meerkat in the beginning of the movie.
Oh God.
Absolutely not. And there's also something just very depressing about having grown up seeing Indiana Jones, like, and Harrison Ford, you know, he was a grown man at that point, to skip ahead and then be like, hey, he's old. And then just like have that shoved in your face. That was very, very jarring. But I think for me, where it lost me was like the freaking aliens at the end and the spinning room. And I'm like, oh, it's just like, it's like legit aliens. Like, we completely took it from being something grounded and earth-based. And people are like, oh yeah, but they found crystal skulls elsewhere. I'm like, okay, that's cool. That doesn't mean it's the adventure for Indiana Jones to follow. A bunch of other shit we found all over the world that he could have investigated.
Yeah.
And so I felt like that one was just, it felt so wrong and so not of the franchise. It felt like really bad fan fiction. And yeah, it's
Here's what else, if I might jump in, I think where it did lose us, because the previous two movies did so many practical effects just based on the time that they were filmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it being CGI went way too spectacular,
so
and it lost the groundedness. My defense of the aliens is this. My defense of the aliens is in the time period that the story is happening, Indiana Jones was tackling the most giant conspiracies of that time. And of the first time, or whenever it was that what was the time period of the first movie that's they were kind of tackling?
It's like the late 30s, early 40s.
World War II.
They were still kind of tackling like the major world religious artifacts. So the Holy Grail or the
Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant would have been right alongside of that. Mm-hmm. And then with the second one, you know, these underground religious cults, you know, mm-hmm. they're kind of dealing with those major things and the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the third, it's taking place in what, the 70s, 60s, 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
It's like right around the time of the fall of Hitler.
Yeah, it's like late.
Because Hitler's in the movie, right?
I'm sorry.
I think Crystal Skull is like early 50s.
Yeah. It was early 50s. It was late 50s, mid to late 50s, I think.
Crystal Skull?
Number three is still in the 40s.
Yeah.
Because Hitler's still.
Well, I'm coming in this with not having mm-hmm. research or data in front of me, but I believe in the time that they were putting the Crystal Skull, that's when the world was really talking about aliens.
Uh-huh.
And so that was the story mm-hmm. that they were going to try to tell. Did they tell it well? No, but that is my defense of aliens.
So here's my, I hear you. I see
1957.
You are valid in your thoughts and opinions. My counter to that is, if the era you want to set the movie in doesn't give you a good option to give, you know, of the times Indiana Jones story, wait a decade. Maybe don't fucking make it. Like, it wasn't like they didn't have to do this.
That's fair.
So the Roswell incident
was 1957.
And the Roswell incident was 1947. That's 10 years.
10 years later.
I mean, I don't know this to be 100% fact. Again, no data in front of me, unprepared. But I didn't even know this was going to come up because fuck that movie. But I believe Roswell was like the first, like, quote unquote, viral, right? For the time, like.
Yeah, for the time, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, aliens, UFOs, right? So that started. And then in the 50s and the 60s, we saw more and more of that reporting and that stuff. And it's grown into. Yeah. You know, tinfoil hats and
M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade took place in 1938, and Kingdom of the Crystal Skull took place in 1957. So canonically, it takes place 19 years, and they filmed it 19 years later. So they wanted his age to appear exactly as if.
I also have to say
it was real.
Counter to Aaron's point, because I'm not going to drop this. In just 1950 alone, so I know it's not 57, but let's just start that decade. They were excavating Stonehenge, okay? On May 8th, 1950, the Tolland Man, the bog body found in Denmark, was found. You could have had a whole shit about that. That would have been pretty cool.
You could have sent Indy to Atlantis. I mean, like, he could have found, have Indiana Jones find fucking Atlantis. My only thing is, you know, I can suspend disbelief for, like, Ark of the Covenant, melting faces, things like that. But just get the physics right. It was the fucking refrigerator for me. It was the fucking refrigerator for me. There is like no. There's right. That's it. I checked out. I checked out. Just get the physics right for me, please. That's it. There's no way that he would have survived that.
Yeah.
There's no way he would have been cooked. He would have come out soup. He would have been Indiana Jones bisque.
They started 1953. They started excavating the Temple of Poseidon. We could have had some really badass Greek mythology stuff in there. Yeah. I'm so mad.
That would have been supernatural.
Look what you've done to me. Look what you've
done. Maybe it'll
be
in the next one when he comes out. Maybe that'll be in the next one. I don't know. I'm just done with Indiana. He just needs to stop. All right. Aaron, you did your thing, right? You're good?
Oh, I didn't present, but no. Oh, yeah, you just chime in.
But go ahead and present, please.
Well, so mine aren't really as good as everybody else's, but I do remember.
You haven't heard mine yet, so here's the point. Fucking stellar.
I will say this, and nobody's going to disagree because we kind of already covered it this episode, but I remember Ventus and I going to see Stranger Tides with Pirates of the Caribbean, and we were dressing up pirate like because we thought, like, you know, it wrapped up fun, but like they could extend this in a fun way, and I felt like an absolute dumbass dressed in my like red and white vertical pants, you know, just like this pirate in in a movie theater. I thought, fuck my life. This was the worst movie. Why were we looking for the Fountain of Youth? It should have ended with them getting, you know, Elizabeth Swann and Orlando Bloom getting married, sort of, and having their kid, not seeing each other for, what, 8 to 10 years?
Yeah.
I'm still bitter. I thought, you know, to be fair, I still get emotional about, like, how unfair that is to Elizabeth Swann. That she has to raise this child, and then, like, every 10 years, you get to see your daddy come
not
up from
it.
The water.
What?
So that's
and
not
being,
worth it.
And being
that's
a single,
not worth it!
Being a single mom in the 18th century, that's gotta be rough, man.
I know!
Just gotta throw it out there. 1953, the Piltdown Man was discovered to be a hoax. They could have done a whole thing about maybe a bunch of archaeological discoveries or hoaxes. In 1955, Easter Island, there were better options. Move on.
Yeah. So why don't we do this? Why don't we do like a Indiana Jones, Laura Croft team up movie?
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's a good pair.
Only if they kiss alone.
No, I don't know. Or Laura Croft's dad. Laura Croft's dad and Indiana Jones? A TV what? Show? I'd watch that.
Young Indiana Laura Croft's dad not Indiana Jones?
Wouldn't that be something?
I like that idea.
Yeah, I do too. I like that. Tony, what you got?
Well... So my most obvious answer to this was Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Are you at work right now?
I am.
Go you. All right. So Transformers
Dark Side of the Moon. I'm sorry. It's a terrible ass movie. And I know they've made multiple movies since then. I have not seen any of them because of how bad that movie was.
Which movie?
I agree with you.
The second Transformers.
Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
My only argument against this is that all of the live action Transformers movies have been absolute dog shit.
Oh, you are so incorrect.
So, like, oh my gosh, I can't even call out that one of them is worse than the rest because they're all terrible. No, and look, I love Transformers. Like, I grew up watching the cartoon in syndication, and that movie is one of my favorite movies, the animated Transformers film. What Michael Bay did to that franchise and later to my beloved Ninja Turtles should have him locked away and unable to create film for the rest of his life.
See, continue, now, Doug, Tony, I'm sorry. I agree with you on a lot of that.
I think you just killed Lee's dead. I don't I'm hoping his camera froze because I don't see him breathing.
Louis? Yeah, because if he's not dead, I might be delivering the final blow here, and really? I hate to do that. But
okay.
But after his vicious attack on Back to the Future,
Louis's good. He's good. All right.
I didn't even know Louis didn't like Transformers. This is not retribution for Back to the Future. I didn't know that, but whatever.
See, Transformers to me is the obvious answer, but there's a hidden one for me, which, and that's going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time. I'm sorry, but that movie
is that
jumped the shark ridiculously.
Is that the one with Vanilla Ice in it?
No, that's,
no, that's the
that
second
two.
One.
Oh, that's the second one. Right.
No, three is
the one where they
go back
to, like,
in time
ancient Japan.
To feudal Japan.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of them.
It's not great. It's not great. It's fun, but it's not great.
It's better in the trilogy of Ninja Turtles than Back to the Future is in the Back to the Future trilogy.
I can't believe you could say so many wrong things in one sentence. Like, fuck me, man.
You just said Michael Bay's Ninja Turtles was bad. What?
Terrible.
What?
Terrible.
What?
This is amazing. This is the greatest day of my entire life.
I cannot. You like.
I like that movie. I loved it. I freaking loved it.
Who the fuck are you, man?
I'm sorry.
I went to go see it multiple times in the movie theater.
Thanks,
multiple
Tony.
Multiple times.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Go Ninja. Go Ninja. Go. Go Ninja. Go.
If you besmirch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze, then we have to end our relationship. Like, I won't.
No, that's a great movie.
Show.
Yeah. 2 was fun. 3 jumped the shark, but that's okay.
We're not allowed to talk about sharks anymore. You missed it. We'll fill you in later.
Oh,
it's a painful subject for Aaron.
Ever see the shark's eyes, Chief? They're like gold eyes, all black and lifeless like.
You're going to trigger him.
29 kids go in the water.
Just such a long sound.
Okay, can you shut it down, please?
the ice cream man. He takes the
okay,
rest.
We get it.
All right. We're running over. We're gonna go ahead and wrap it up.
Damn, you didn't give yours yet.
Oh, gold member, Austin Powers. Gold member. I mean, people will argue that the entire franchise is garbage, but it's fun. And I'm a James Bond fan, and so the first one was incredible. The second one was pretty good. You've got some great characters in it. There's even some good characters. What's the Dutch guy? I can't remember the Dutch guy's name in Goldmember. You know, smoking a pancake, bonging a blint. Like Goldmember, that was his name. Fucking Goldmember. But it's just it didn't have as many of the James Bond tropes in it as the first two. But it was recycling more jokes from the first two.
They tried too hard with the third one.
They did.
I don't think many people would tell you that. They didn't like the first two. Like,
I've never seen them.
For people who like that type of movie or were into comedy at that time, like those two movies were outrageously funny.
They really
and
were
well put together. Yeah. And the third one did fall super flat.
It really did. And I think that killed the franchise. I think they could have come up with maybe one or two more.
Dude, they could have come up with 24 more because there's 26 Bond movies.
Bond movies, just start doing
Bond parodies, and you know, it feeds itself.
It would have worked. It would have worked.
But you're right. That's where they lost their way. It stopped being a Bond parody and started being an Austin Powers movie.
Right, and I think that's where they did. They absolutely lost their way. So thanks for joining us this week, everyone. Does anybody have anything to say on the way out before we?
Whose hot take is it? I don't remember who I wrote it down.
Aaron's hot take today.
I'm pretty sure that we could probably rest with the hot take.
It's been a pretty hot take.
Doug and Louis established.
There's a lot of spice in this episode. There's been a lot of hot takes. This is an episode of Hot Ones without the chicken wings.
Nothing I add will be anywhere close to what just already happened.
You could just pick a side. Back to the Future 3 or Ninja Turtles 3.
But both are equally bad, so I don't know.
Nope, he's got to pick. He's got to pick one that he loves.
Tommy, can I be honest? I have not seen... it's been so long since I've seen Back to the Future 3, and I don't know if I've even
seen. Who do you like more, Louis or Doug?
Yeah, that's really the question anyway.
We'll just break it. We'll just drill down to the bedrock of it. Who do you like more?
Don't put the poor man on the spot like that. It's okay. You've known Doug longer.
Just say Tony.
It's obvious. I mean, from growing up with Louis in Boston, that I would absolutely turn my back on Doug in an instant. I'm a Bostonian through and through.
Okay. You're a Bostonian.
I'm from Boston. I'm from the habit.
But Louis is a transplant, and he doesn't even live in Boston. He lives in some little
community. I grew up with Louis in Boston.
You explain how you grew up with Louis in Boston.
Crab cakes.
Well, that's not a mic.
Crab cakes and lobster rolls on the side of I-95.
I-95. All right. That's going to do it for this week. Folks, please be sure to check us out on all social media. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch all of our shows. We've got some good stuff out there. We've got some great games. We've got some great commentary. We have lots of good stuff on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/CycleOfNerds. And of course, do please make it a point to swing on by our Patreon, patreon.com/CircleOfNerds. And while you're there, say hi to Tony, because I think he's the only Patroni we have left. There's a couple more. But Doug, are you?
I'm a Patroni.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of us are Patronis. I think
we're just the Patronis.
We're the Patroni. We're the Patroni Patrol. That's it.
I was literally just on Patreon looking at our stuff earlier.
But then watch the videos. I'm only seeing one view on the Patreon videos so far. I gave everyone early access.
No one's accessing it early.
I'm accessing it right now.
Thank you.
I'm currently accessing this episode.
All right. Access denied.
What happened to that? We passed it. When? Just now.
Oh, the quote. The movie quote, Tommy.
Thank you for reminding me, because I just completely skipped over that. We're supposed to do that before the hot take. So, yes, the movie quote. This is the second one, right? All right, here we go.
Remember the first time I saw your bike? You were riding past my house, and I came running out to tell you how much I liked it even way back then.
All right, Louis, what is it? What is it? What's the movie?
Your mom.
No.
That's incorrect.
I hit the wrong one. There we go. A and
Tony,
V.
Don't, Tony's gonna know.
I don't know. I'm just gonna throw out the Goonies. I don't fucking know.
Oh no, no! It is Medea goes to the North Pole.
Tony,
I have no clue.
You, hear it again? You need to hear it again because you.
I heard it, but I don't.
Something
know
about it. Outside, like
you were riding something past my house, and I came running out to tell you how much I liked it, even way back then.
It's Pee-wee's Big Adventure, guys.
I love that story.
Like that's
Pee-wee's
that's
Big
like,
Adventure.
This is Buxton. As soon as he, you guys
remember the first time I saw your bike, you were riding past my house, and I came running out to tell you how much I liked it, even way back then.
I love
never
it.
Seen and it.
Then have the four of you not seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Never.
I probably have when I was like four.
Then we'll have to if I've seen it, I saw it once, and it was a long time ago.
Honestly, it's not. There's no honor in winning when everyone just hasn't seen any of them.
I mean, watching that as an adult, no, I have not watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure as an adult.
It, oh yeah, it's so good. I was almost gonna use the line at the end where you know where they've made the film, they've made the Pee-wee's Big Adventure movie with the actual actors and things like that. I was going to use that line there where, you know, I'm a loner, Dottie, I'm a rebel, but have it with, you know, the actual actors rather than Pee-wee talking to Dottie. But I thought that would be too easy. But clearly, I would have been just fine with that since it's just Doug, who is now
6-0.
You're going to run out of fingers for your championship rings before too long there, buddy.
Yeah, I don't. We have to go to bi-weekly release, man. We got to slow these guys down.
Yeah, we got definitely got to go by. Weekly. All right. That's going to do it. We're going to put a fork in us. We're done. We've gone over a little bit, but that's okay. You guys love it. You don't mind. So, so long until next time. Does anybody have anything to say? Anything to pimp? Anything, any projects y'all are working on?
Michael Bay's Ninja Turtle movie is fantastic.
Oh, God. All right. So, and don't forget, nobody does anything nice for you. Do something nice to yourself. Woo. And we are going to see y'allins next week. I'm talking slow so I can set my buttons up. All right, love you, bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you like this train wreck and you want more, you can follow us online. We're at Circle of Nerds on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course our website, circleofnerds.com.